Hi, everybody. I am Riley Daniel, and this is The Next Generation Voter, the only podcast of the next gen, by the next gen, for the next gen. Today, I will be providing information about a government program that has been in the news recently, DACA, or the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. I will explain to you the origins of the program during the Obama administration, the protections it creates for Dreamers and who they apply to, the legal challenges the program has faced, and the Supreme Court's decision last week on the Trump administration's attempt to end the program. As this decision has sparked a lot of excitement and controversy, I thought it would be helpful for young voters to have a detailed, factual explanation of what DACA does, as it is commonly mischaracterized in the news and on social media. Throughout the first decade of the 21st century, there was bipartisan support for restructuring the immigration enforcement and deportation process, specifically in regards to the plight of undocumented immigrants who were brought to the United States as children under the age of 16. Congress attempted numerous times to pass various versions of the DREAM Act, which would have given the Dreamers, the name they gave for undocumented immigrants, most of whom were in their late teens or early 20s, the right to temporary legal status for 6 years, provided that they were either attending or had graduated secondary school or had attained their GED. If they achieve these requirements, then they will be eligible to begin on the path to permanent legal status, which required, as a prerequisite, at least 2 years of higher education, college or a two-year university, or military service. The idea was that these children had not willingly violated immigration law. Instead, they were brought here by their parents, they grew up here, and they knew no other country as home. If they are willing to put in the work and the effort to become lawful, productive members of society, we should not discourage them. Unfortunately, due to the polarization of Washington politics, each of these bills, despite having bipartisan majority support, were not able to overcome the 60-vote Senate filibuster and were therefore unable to be passed. Frustrated with Congress's inability to pass legislation on this issue, in June 2012, President Obama signed a highly controversial executive order directing the Department of Homeland Security to defer deportations on Dreamers, provided that they met the same criteria that had been previously established in the DREAM Act, namely that they were under the age of 31 at the time they were applying for DACA status, that they had entered the country as an undocumented immigrant under the age of 16 as a result of their parents bringing them in, and that they were a person of good character, that is to say little or no criminal history. They also needed to have either sought or were seeking higher education or military service, the same requirement that had been in the DREAM Act. This program allowed Dreamers to obtain work permits and receive employer-based health insurance, necessities that they had been previously denied due to their undocumented status. In the 5 years that DACA was implemented with support from the executive branch, nearly 800,000 Dreamers joined the program, each using it to obtain their chance at seeking the American dream. Immediately, the program faced widespread conservatism from conservatives, who viewed it as an overreach of executive power by the Obama administration. 7 states, led by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, filed a lawsuit, currently working its way through the courts, on the ground that the executive unilaterally conferred lawful presence and work authorization on otherwise unlawfully present aliens, and then the executive used that lawful presence dispensation to unilaterally confer United States citizenship. This is a common argument made against DACA by its detractors, who claim that it gives undocumented immigrants citizenship. Although some DACA recipients have gone on to become naturalized American citizens, that was only after they went through the green card process in the same vein as a legal immigrant would have to. DACA itself explicitly is not a source to citizenship, and its recipients are forced to renew their temporary legal status every 2 years, giving them no permanent guarantees. After the election of Donald Trump in 2016, there were several changes made to immigration policy and enforcement, including, due to threats of lawsuits by Republican state attorneys general, an announcement from the Department of Homeland Security on September 5th, 2017, that the DACA program would be wound down, immediately ending new applications to the program and restricting the renewal process for many recipients, and ending it for anyone whose status would have expired before March 2018. As DACA had been a program that had been important to the economies and educational institutions of many states, the announcement triggered a flurry of lawsuits, leading to injunctions being placed on the program's termination by federal judges in both New York and California. The Trump administration decided to appeal these injunctions to the Supreme Court, which heard the case this fall and was tasked with deciding whether or not the Trump administration's rescission of DACA was unconstitutional. The decision, in Department of Homeland Security v. the Regents of the University of California, ruled 5-4, with Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's four liberals, that the Trump administration had violated a law called the Administrative Procedure Act, not in rescinding DACA, but in the way they ended the program. As Roberts wrote for the majority, because the administration did not go through the process of providing rationale for terminating the program, we concluded that the total rescission was arbitrary and capricious, and they therefore struck down the administration's action, upholding DACA at least for now. Justice Clarence Thomas, in his dissent, stated that the argument used by Roberts and the majority was irrelevant because the initial creation of DACA was unconstitutional, but the majority was unwilling to dig into the substance of DACA itself, instead putting off a ruling on the constitutionality of the executive order for a later day when it is not an election year. As soon as the decision was handed down on June 19th, President Trump tweeted that his administration would attempt to end the program again, this time following the processes set out by the court in its ruling, making it very likely that DACA will be back at the Supreme Court this time next year. However, in the meantime, DACA seems to be a meaningful policy distinction in this year's election, as President Trump supports dismantling DACA as part of a complete overhaul of the U.S.'s immigration policy, while Vice President Biden supports the ruling and the program at large, as he sees Dreamers as Americans who deserve to stay in the U.S. In the meantime, the lawsuits filed by the state's attorney general, which I referenced earlier, is still being fought in the courts, meaning they could very well end up having the case that which decides whether or not DACA will stay and not the decision the Trump administration made. If Trump is reelected, it is very likely that the program will be successfully and lawfully disbanded, while a Biden administration would likely continue to protect Dreamers and possibly seek to add a pathway to citizenship. As it is likely that someone you know, whether a friend, a doctor, a teacher, or a family member, is a DACA recipient, it is an important policy that you should consider when voting this fall. The votes of our generation this November will have a profound effect on the future of Dreamers, which is why you should consider their situation very carefully and make a decision based on the values you value most importantly.